Ravaged by civil war and the worst drought in 60 years, tens of thousands of people have starved to death in the escalating famine in East Africa. Worst hit, Somalia. Thousands are fleeing across that country's borders into refugee camps in neighboring Kenya and Ethiopia. The ground around the camps in Kenya littered with the bodies of children abandoned by mothers too weak to dig graves. Parts of Somalia are controlled by insurgents who kidnap children to use as child soldiers. And while the UN's World Food Program is trying to ramp up aid, a spokesperson for the Islamist group Al-Shabaab says they won't be allowed to enter those areas.
The agencies we banned before are still banned. Some of those we banned were involved in political activities. Others were destroying the lives of our people, so we had to ban them too. The biggest responsibility for this problem lies with the United Nations. Their last report says that there is famine in Somalia. We say this is utter nonsense.
That sound from the BBC, and also from the BBC, Yosef Garad, head of the BBC's Somali service. He joins us from London. And Yosef, we've been hearing a report that aid groups say that U.S. officials are telling them privately that they don't want aid going into these areas because they're afraid it will go to al-Shabaab, this Islamist group. What is true about al-Shabaab and how much it is allowing aid and aid workers into these areas?
Shabaab is controlling, first of all, a large territory in south and central Somalia, and they are a group that have admitted in the past carrying out terrorist attacks in Somalia and elsewhere. And they are a target of U.S. and other intelligence communities. So they are a group that is in control of large territory, but on the other hand, very much paranoid about what may happen to them. There have been few surgical attacks that killed a number of their leaders. So in the past, they have banned a number of organizations, at least two of them. They suspected that they were behind the killing of one of their leaders. Now they're saying that they are allowing those organizations who have no other intention but to help the people. But the big question now is World Food Program. I did manage to talk to someone from Shabaab and asked him to brief me about why they are not allowing WFP. What he claimed was that they talked to WFP in the past to stop distributing food when the harvest comes out. Also, they asked WFP to buy food from the Somali market rather than importing from abroad. So it sounds some logic, but the situation now is really dire, and 3,000 at least are crossing every day into neighboring Ethiopia and Kenya looking for food and water.
Well, then we're hearing terrible stories about the situation in the refugee camps that they're arriving in, stories about how, you know, on the way, there was a heartbreaking story about a mother who abandoned her swaddled infant that she thought had died. Another starving family came along and found it and realized that it was alive. And, you know, just terrible, terrible stories. What are you hearing about what's happening in the refugee camps?
The situation is really very bad, and all the indications show that there is severe malnutrition and probably famine, as the UN have already announced, in some parts of Somalia, in southern Somalia. We sent reporters to the border areas inside Somalia, towards Kenya and towards Ethiopia, people fleeing. And their stories are really very, very sad stories. People walking for long distances in a conflict zone when they have nothing to eat and no drinking water available with them. People who are fleeing with their children and very few belongings they have on their heads or on their backs, and walking for several hundred kilometers. When they cross the border into Kenya, they expect that the refugee camp is out there immediately and they will get support. It means that they have to continue walking for another 80 kilometers. When they arrive at the refugee camp, Dadaab, the largest one in the world, they don't get immediate assistance. It means that they have to queue for registration that may take for days.
Get in line, yes. You're saying, to register.
So it is really very difficult. On the other hand, many people are fleeing to the capital on the small enclave controlled by the government with the hope that international aid organizations will have access to that area and they will be supported.
But your BBC colleague Will Ross says that it's often too late when they get there. He spoke to Noor Ali, who works for the United Nations Children's Fund.
The family have been working so long. They are coming like the last stage of malnutrition. Our product may not help that child because of their severely malnourished children.
So sometimes they get here too late.
Yeah, they reach here too late.
Youssef, we're seeing pictures of this, we're hearing about this, and yet we feel we're hearing about it long after the fact. We're hearing from some of our listeners who are Somali, who are in the United States. Omar Noor is one of them who wrote to say, please, you know, shed some light on this. How is it that it ratcheted up to such a degree and not much has been done? Or is that just the nature of civil war, drought, insurgencies? How did we get to this?
You said it all. And plus that, we have a failed state. For more than 20 years now, Somalia has been without a functioning central government. And what is happening really is partially natural disaster, drought, but on the other hand, it is a man-made disaster because one of the regions declared famine area is Lower Shabelle. That region used to produce banana that got exported to Europe. Now it is a famine area because over the last 20 years, no one repaired canals and other irrigation systems. And many people fled the conflict. Most warlords always vie for the control of that region. And production came almost to zero.
Youssef Garrard, head of the BBC's Somali service, speaking to us from London about the situation in Somalia and neighboring Kenya, where refugees have fled. Youssef, thank you very much.
Thank you.